It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. This is Barry Hess sitting in on a remote doing the show today so that Ernie can enjoy his coming back party. But in any event, folks, we have got a real good show for you today. And we have John Gleha and Keith Liberty on. We're going to talk about some real relevant information. Information that concerns so many people, it's making the headlines every single day. And, of course, that is the mortgage crisis and the credit crisis. We're going to talk to people today who are going to help us to find out how we can alleviate ourselves of these burdens, these odious debts that have been stacked upon us by the banking community largely. So, folks, today we have, do we have Keith on the line with us?
Yes, we do.
And hey, Keith, good to have you along. Is John along with us? Uh-oh, we didn't hear a voice. We're hoping John will join us here in just a little bit. He is a renowned expert. He's certainly been in the business for a very long time of helping people with their homes. And I'm not talking debt consolidation, folks. That's a death trap. I'm not talking about modification. That's a death trap. I'm talking about people who are going in and challenging their mortgages and their credit card debt on a legal basis. And ultimately, here's what it comes down to. It comes down to when the mortgage company, the originator, and people are familiar with that term, the originator of the loan never loaned any money. And yet somehow they have the audacity to tell us that we not only owe them the money they did not create, the money that you created when you signed your note, we're told we have to pay that money back. There was no back because it didn't exist before we signed the note. But they say they want us to pay it back with interest. Is that pretty much it, Keith?
That's basically it. They have your mortgage is not valid, and neither are your credit cards.
Well, maybe, Keith, you could walk us through a little bit very quickly, because this is a five-minute segment, of exactly what's the overall? What goes on when you go to help someone with their mortgage problem? Somebody comes and says, hey, I got a mortgage. They're going to foreclose on me, and the doggone balance gets higher every month no matter what, and it's just a nightmare that people are finding out with these adjustables.
Yes, it is. And basically, like I said earlier, your mortgage is not valid, Barry. And it's not valid for the reasons you just brought up. But also, the way they structured a lot of these loans, there's all kinds of major federal and state legal problems with them. In fact, there was a man just in November of 08 here in Arizona who took that on and was able to get his home free and clear by challenging those originators and different middlemen.
Wow, that just sounds so extraordinary. I was telling a friend of mine in California about it. And man alive, it just blew his mind because I tell you what, he was a Kool-Aid drinker for Obama. He ain't drinking that Kool-Aid no more because he's starting to see what is actually going on in the real world. And we're going to be coming up on a break here in just a minute. So, as we come into it, when we hear the bumper music, we're going to fade out. But I just wanted to make sure that people had a taste for what's coming in the next segment. And it sounds like our music is starting, so enjoy the music. We'll be back in just a minute, and we'll get on with this fascinating.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yes, and we are back, back in the saddle again. We're here with Keith Liberty, going to be joined by John Gleeha. Now, folks, you probably just heard
John's on the line.
Oh, very good. And you probably just heard his commercial. This is John Gleeha. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking just a little bit. Telling kind of the overall basis on why people don't have to pay their debts. Of course, we were just entreated to your commercial here on Ernest Hancock's Declare Your Independence, and it's intriguing. I mean, you must get a lot of calls on that.
Well, sure, there's a lot of controversy, I guess, but it's not about not paying your debts. I think we all should pay our debts.
Right. Well, maybe you'd like to give the audience a little bit of an explanation of exactly what goes on.
Well, if you've borrowed money from a friend or family member, they actually had to take that money from some effort they put out into the world and, you know, working or whatever, their savings or an asset they took the risk on to buy and allowed you to use it. So that money, of course, should be paid back. I mean, I think that, you know, there's a risk they took and they should be compensated for it. On the other hand, when we're dealing with the banking system and credit card debts and mortgages, the banking system has a different set of rules they play by. And they're basically originating money. This is the word that they use. They're creating money, extending credit, so to speak. So they take no risk, but they want you to pay back the money, if you want to call it that, paying it back, from equity, from value that you've created. So this is the problem where if the equity or the time it takes to acquire that value is longer than the demand is for repaying that money, then you're at a loss. And this is where we are right now. This is why we have so many foreclosures going on.
Well, you know, it's funny because that was exactly the way I put it. I talked a little bit about the originator because I think a lot of people don't understand that, but it is an appropriate title. They are the originators, but of what? Can you kind of explain how this gets into it? When somebody, I come in to buy a house, I'm sitting down there at the closing table, where's the money and what's going to happen at that closing table?
Well, the money comes from the note that you signed. The promise to pay is the money, and the bank deposits it just like you would a suitcase of cash.
So they take and basically take your promissory note, say for $100,000. I come in and I sign a promissory note for $100,000, just a piece of paper with my signature, that there's no money behind that at all?
Well, that is the money.
That is the money.
Right. Now, if you did that to me, I wouldn't know what to do with that promise to pay. To me, I couldn't use it to go buy groceries because I'm not a bank. But a bank has a different accounting system. It's called an accrual-based accounting system. And there, everything is based on an accounting ledger. It's all fiction. It's all made up. So when you give that to a bank, the bank can use that note as a deposit. It then creates new money on that deposit and gives it to the seller and pays all the, you know, the closing costs for like a mortgage deal.
So when you sign that note, you're writing what is the equivalent of a check.
You're creating money.
And so they take that promissory note, turn it over, slap an endorsement on, like a check cashing endorsement. And then don't they deposit that note, check, money, whatever they want to call it, into a transaction account and then in their bank as if somebody had just given them $100,000? And then they write the checks out of that account?
Well, somewhat. It's not exactly like that, but it's not. They're not treating it as if. They literally accept the note as money, and they don't it's a little more complicated than that, but they use this note to originate or counterfeit new money, and they trick the person that's making the note into believing that the bank is lending them something when actually the bank is borrowing the money.
Wow, what that's great work if you can get it, huh?
Hey, sign me up for that one.
John, I understand that they're borrowing it from you. Is that correct?
That's right. The maker of the note is the lender.
Yes, but without interest. So it's a one-way interest.
Well, it depends on what the terms of the note are, what the deal is. But sure, I mean, pretty much everybody signs everything in front of them, right? They just figure that it's what it's supposed to be, and they just sign it.
Well, what I meant by that is the transaction one way, the exchange, when you give them a loan, has no interest, and when they give it back to you, which is actually an exchange, it has interest.
Right, because it would look funny to you if you read it, and it looked like you were earning interest on your loan to them, and then the trick would be revealed.
Exactly.
Of course, there's no interest on that, right?
Well, now, one of the things that I found intriguing, as I was reading through some of your materials, John, is you started talking about the mortgage as something that you can turn back in. And now I understand that when we sign the notes, that we've just created that money. It did not exist before. Now, that would count as an expansion of the U.S. economy. Is that right? When we hear the word the economy expanded by 2%, does that mean that we have created, through these private contracts, we've created a new amount is added to the economy?
Yeah, the way the economy expands, if you watch the news and you hear them use that phrase, what that means is more people are borrowing money, essentially. I mean, in our terms, we're not literally borrowing money, but I mean, more money is being created because more people are filing loan applications with the bank that are being approved, you know.
Wow. Well, you know, some years back, I met a man here in Arizona, down in Tucson. His name's Tom Schoaf. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was a CPA. He wrote a couple of books, how the banksters are stealing from you or something like that.
Sure.
And he had some real success going into court and actually relieving people of the liability for those notes, and it was based upon not only the origination of the money, the lack of a loan, but it was based upon the GAAP, the Generally Accepted Accounting Procedures, which are used by most corporations, or supposed to be, but not the banks. They don't use that same accounting system. But as I understood it, every time the bank takes in money, when it takes in money, then that has an asset that is credited to them. But at the same time, it always has to carry with it a liability. What happens, in other words, if I go put $100,000 into the bank would show they have $100,000 more on the books, but they should also be showing that there's a $100,000 liability to me because it's my money.
That's your standard double entry bookkeeping, and they do comply with the GAAP rules. They're not exempted from that.
But so how can they get away with not recording the debt that they have to you, the home buyer, when you sign that note?
Well, they do everything correctly. It's just that they conceal the magic tricks, if you want to look at it this way, so that you don't really understand it. So that's why people already accept that if they're going to buy a home, they're going to get a mortgage, okay? And in order to get the mortgage, they're going to provide a note that they sign, a promissory note. Well, if you're providing the note, and you've already recorded it in your county recorder's office, the note is the deposit that it will pay everyone. There's no need to have a mortgage. But nobody does that. What they do is they go to a closing. It's like being locked in a room and they won't let you out until you sign, kind of thing. You don't have a chance to review anything, really, or discuss the terms of the agreement with anyone who's competent or qualified to even do it. They just say, here, sign here. And they have you show up at their office for what's called the closing. And so you sign the note and you sign the mortgage because that's what your parents did. And that's what everybody does. We just do it because that's what they said. It makes sense. Because they're going to lend me money and I'm going to give them a lien on my property. The truth is, if I made the note and I recorded it and I deliver it to the closing, escrow is closed. I don't need to sign a mortgage. Everyone gets paid.
Wow. That is amazing. I know that I was, I'm a skeptic. And so as I read through some of the materials and it said that, look at some of the wording on the notes. And I pulled out the deed and of course, the promissory note. And sure enough, there it was. There were some interesting words that indicated that when I signed it, the bank was, I was right in the writings. It says that the bank had already given me money. It was kind of really squirrely. Can you maybe cover that a little bit?
You read carefully, they're never identifying there that they lent you anything. They'll never say that. What they'll say is all of a sudden you owe them. They don't say that you lent. They lent and you owe. They just say you owe. But here's what's a real telltale sign. Go through your notes. Everyone has one. Go through your documents you got it from your closing and look through and look at all the waivers. Now, there's a waiver. It's a paragraph, maybe 3 sentences long. And in there it says you waive the right to presentment and notice of dishonor. What this means is you're waiving your right to demand that your note be returned back to you.
Hmm.
In the old days, they used to give you the note back, and they don't anymore.
Oh yeah, I went to note burning parties or mortgage burning parties. It was a big deal when I was a kid growing up that somebody paid off their house, and they literally would burn the original note was sent back to them, the one their ink touched paper to, and they would burn it. And it was a big party.
Well, since the 80s, someone invented securitization, and they started doing that with the car dealerships. Basically, the car dealerships became banks. And they took all the paper from the cars. That's why you see the 0% interest financing. It's not 0%. The car dealerships are selling the paper, so they're getting a discount, and they're getting whatever percent they want. But on the face of the note, it says 0%. That's a lie. So since the 80s, it's become popular to securitize and trade these notes as, you know, instruments in which people invest in. So there's a demand in the marketplace that people go into debt. If someone's investing in your debt.
Wow. Hey, we're coming up on a break, and we're going to get Keith in here, too, because this is a topic I think that's going to deserve some real close scrutiny. So we'll get back to it after the break here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. This is Barry Hess sitting in, and we'll be back after the break.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And we are coming back here with Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. Here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, our guests today are Keith Liberty and John Gleeha. And folks, I'm going to ask them to give you information to contact them, because I know there's a lot of people who are going to say, I need more information, because you can't just get it all out of a radio program. We'll give that. Also, I want to remind the callers, we will be taking calls in the second hour. And so I want you to jot down this number very quickly, to call in and get your questions answered directly by the men who are doing the deal. The number, call-in number, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So get ready for the second hour when you can ask questions directly. Okay, let's move now to Keith Liberty. Keith, you've been listening into all this, and of course you have your take on it. It seems to be totally sympathetic with exactly what John is doing. Can you maybe tell us what are you actually doing when you help people?
Well, basically, John's exactly right about how that promissory note business goes, and then he's also right about the securitization of notes. Both are a disaster because both allow these entities to buy the whole assets of the United States that we work for, with nothing. They create the money out of nothing, and they buy literally the entire world, and they do own the deeds or deeds of trust basically to darn near everything. What I do is I've studied with a bunch of groups, and John knows a bunch of this stuff, and so do I. And there's a seminar coming up in San Diego you can go to, and this is what the premise is of the seminar, and it's called Homeowners Beware. The typical predatory lender is in violation of an excess of a dozen statutory acts plus over 20 causes of action. So because of that, and what John was talking about, you can take these mistakes and these violations of different acts. I mean, it's unbelievable. If you look at the complaint that the guy filed in Arizona, he had about, I don't know, 15 different counts against the bank, which was Deutsche Bank and GMAC Mortgage. And here's some of the things that he took him on. He said breach of contract, violation of the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act. And most states have these consumer fraud acts. They could just put your state in that place. violation of the Truth in Lending, violation of Home Ownership and Equity Protection Act, and asked for quiet title. That means the bank can no longer take your house, and that's exactly what he asked for and eventually settled with the banks to get. And then violation of the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act, and also violation of the Arizona Assignment and Satisfaction of Mortgage Law, infliction of emotional distress, fraud, misrepresentation, conspiracy, conversion, and civil theft. And it goes on. And these are the things they do on every mortgage, especially these securitized mortgages. Like
So the people listening, they've got a defective mortgage, whether they know it or not. Is
literally,
that right?
Literally, yes. Yes.
Wow. I mean, that's just incredible. Now, you talked about some pretty serious charges. We're talking about fraud, deception, deceptive practices. I know the RESPA Act here in Arizona, isn't that the RESPA here? Oh,
yes.
That's UDAP is here.
Well, and RESPA is a federal. That's one of the many things they violate.
But now, why aren't more people doing this?
Because we're not trained by our media or our schools to know about it. We're trained to, like you said, go to that closing table, like John was saying, and sign on that bottom line and walk out. And that's what you do. And you don't know what the heck is going on in that transaction.
And folks, if you, just to give you an idea, one of them, I remember reading one of the statutes that Keith had mentioned to me, and it was talking about you can rescind your mortgage based upon, and I remember just one of the examples was that if you didn't get enough copies of the right of rescission disclosure. What's that all about?
Well, that's what I call the B plan. There's the A plan, which is all these things that this guy I just read and he took on and won. And the B plan, which is also effective because it backs up the other one. And if you have a refinance that's been done in the last 3 years or less, and it falls under Truth in Lending, specifically Title 15, 1635. That's about a two-page law. Anyone can get on there and read that. It's Title 15, 1635. And go on there, and it just says that you have a three-day right of rescission unless they make these mistakes, which they always do in these loan files. There was $8-an-hour workers creating these huge, thick loan documents, just slopping them through, hitting a type and cut and paste type thing, and hitting the print button. And you were signing these things, and 80% of the ones I've seen or more are violate the Truth in Lending Act. And so that's, again, the B plan is rescind your mortgage if it's a refinance in the last 3 years, and then the bank, by the law, if you read it, says they have no security interest in your home anymore. And two, they have to tender back all the money that you paid them over the period of time that you had the loan, the interest. So if you paid them, a lot of people paid them $35,000, $45,000 in interest in 2.5 years, that is owed back to you. Now, that statute, why I call it the B plan, is because they're supposed to tender back the house or release that security interest in that house within 20 days. But then within 20 days, you're supposed to tender back the money that you borrowed from them. It says if it's not impractical, which basically 99% of the time is always impractical. And so people go to court and they end up with 2 years on that home, sitting in it, fighting the bank, saying, is it too impractical right now? You've ruined my credit and you've ruined the economy with your banking scams. And so I will refinance it when I can. So, again, that's rescission. That's Title 15, 1635, and that's the B plan. The A plan is the stuff I mentioned earlier.
Very good. I apologize, but we're coming into a break. We'll be back in just a couple moments, folks, here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And we're back after just a short moment, and back on the line with some exciting guests. We've got John Gleeha and Keith Liberty talking about our mortgages and the inherent problems in the written mortgage, in that contract, how people have been duped from some really simple stuff. I mean, a contract, as John was talking about earlier, a contract's pretty simple in terms of the money. I loan you money, you pay me back, and maybe pay some interest if I ask you for it. But here we're finding that the banks have this situation where we go ask in good faith to borrow some money, but they don't loan it to us. They take it from us. It's just fascinating, the concept of how the American people have twisted their minds to lose all reason at all, any critical thinking. John, what do you think of all this?
Well, I'll tell you what the Europeans think. They look at this whole system and laugh at it, and the American people are the joke of the whole thing. They're the punchline. Europeans are saying, why are the Americans tolerating this?
Wow. And why wouldn't they? I mean, anybody with a reasonable sense of honesty, fair play, would have to say, wait a minute, everything ain't sitting square on this table. What's going on here? It really is. It's a fascinating idea that maybe now wait a minute. Let me ask, because this is going to be a question. What would happen if everybody turned their mortgage back in to their banks and said, here's your mortgage. Just take it back, but don't touch my property. I'm just giving you back the mortgage.
What if we just paid the bank back in the same money that they deal in? That would balance their books. They would actually be happy, and it would free up people to not pay back in their equity.
That's
how you do it. If you gave the bank a note to start with, why couldn't you settle the account with another note or a negotiable instrument?
Good question. Well, can you?
Yes.
And the banks will accept it? I mean, if I just draw up a note here today, and I take it, and I say I'm going to pay back the balance of the mortgage, you know, the same figures, and I just take it into the mortgage lender, the originator, and say, here, you mean they'll take it and we're done?
It has to be in a certain form, but it is within your reach to do with your knowledge. You can do this. But let me just tell you a quick story. And this is not something, I'm not going to say this so that you think this is, and your listeners think, okay, gosh, that's all I have to do? It's not that simple. But let me just tell you a case file that I looked at last week. We're over here in Florida, in Volusia County, next to where I live, in Orlando. This guy was in a foreclosure, so he went and got a copy of his note from his own records. Now, the bank, of course, didn't have the original note, which they're required to have. So he took his note, and he, under his signature, where it says borrower, he'd already signed this now at the closing. He scratched out borrower with a line, a pen, and just wrote settler. Now, settler is the person who brings value to the contract. And, of course, he's the settler because he made the note, right? He's the lender. So he put settler there, and he has that notarized. Now, he didn't have a signature notarized. He has the change notarized. Then he takes his copied note and records it in the county recorder's office and pays a documentary stamp tax on it. This makes it a security. Then
wow.
He enters it into evidence in the foreclosure proceeding. And then they have a hearing on it. And the judge gets to, you know, look at the case file, and he looks at this this instrument that the defendant had filed. And he looks at the bank's attorney and said, what's your problem? Haven't you ever seen a bill of exchange before? Get out of my court.
Well, that may make good tender for the truth in lending tenders requirement on the refinances.
Yeah. Well, it balanced the account, and the
exactly.
judge doesn't care. The judge is a banker. He just wants to balance the account.
Hmm.
Wow. The concepts are just so alien to what people are taught. You know, you're basically told to shut up, sit down, pay your taxes, and do what anybody in a suit and tie tells you to do.
But pay your taxes and your debt in the same kind of money that you're dealing in. Don't pay a bank, an accrual-based accounting system with a cash-based accounting system, because that's going to make you poor.
Wow, it's so amazing. But, you know, so many people, you know, they're good people here in America. We tend to have honesty as a virtue. But they feel like they're doing something wrong. Are they?
It's so foreign. Well, they're not. The bank is happy to get it. It's just that they'll be more happy to get your equity. That's what they're all about. You know, it's like the game of Monopoly. This is the best analogy I can make. If you play Monopoly, and for the first time, most people think, okay, I'm going to acquire the most money in the game. Well, that person's going to lose because your objective in the game is to make other people spend the money to you. So the way to go is use the money to get the assets and make other people pay you rent. And that's how you win. It's a zero-sum game. Someone has to lose. And that's what the banking system is for. It's to make everyone work for them.
Wow. You know, you hear all the old quotes from the founding fathers when they talked about the hazards of central banking and how this country really resisted it. until 1913. I think it started in 1910, the movement, but 1913 is when they really brought it in with the Federal Reserve Act and the centralized banking and the income tax, I mean, which all, none of which existed prior to 1913. No, I didn't say 1713 or 1813. I said 1913. Isn't it just an amazing transformation that we've seen?
Well, it's a deliberate trend. I mean, since 1933, it's deliberately. It's only 20 years after the Fed was formed. And keep in mind, they need the IRS to make the Fed work, because if they put the money in circulation, they have to take it out. Otherwise, it doesn't work. But anyways, in 1933, they had to change the plan. They had to create a reorganization plan, okay? This is a bankruptcy, all right?
Right.
They had to create this plan, and of course, when a nation goes bankrupt, it doesn't go to a court. It is the court. So it has to write a law to administer the bankruptcy. And you can actually find this law in Title V, Section 552A. It's called the Administrative Procedures Act, and it's titled the Government Reorganization Plan under FDR. That was the New Deal. The New Deal was not about people, American people. It was about how the United States is going to pay its foreign creditors.
Wow. Wow, and see, now that is news. I've known it, obviously, for years. But most people just never know that this country, the United States, actually the corporate side, the United States, has been bankrupt since 1933.
It's operates in receivership. All corporations operate in bankruptcy and receivership because they can't own anything. They're a fiction. Only people can own things. So that's how the whole thing goes. And you have cycles, like economic cycles. And I believe there's a 70-year economic cycle. I believe it ended around 1999 of the original 1933 reorganization plan. I think there's a new plan. I don't know what that is, but I don't know where it's published. But there's this economic cycle that keeps perpetuating itself.
Well, I'd say they're getting ready to do it again, because when I went to this class that I was talking about in San Diego that's coming up, they had one earlier, that the securitized mortgages alone equals $700 trillion. And the whole stinking world annual economy is only $50
trillion.
So these numbers are never to be paid off, but you're always trying to pay them off. You're paying foot operator tickets and
never
sales
will.
Taxes and the IRS and insurance, and you never can pay it off, and that's just where they want it. You're on a little, like the mouse or gopher on the spinning wheel or whatever.
That's the whole idea.
Yes, and I think they're trying to do it on a bigger way than they did 1933 here.
Look at it this way. Everything that's behind all this are corporate structures, okay? And a corporation, by definition, is an insane person because it does not have a conscience. So what does an insane person do that its whole purpose is to make a profit? Well, it has no morality. It doesn't care who it injures. It just wants to make the profit. And so that's what you have, a runaway insane person that's hurting everyone.
That's literally what's going on. Most of these corporations are soulless, and they're part of the system and the banking system to the nth degree.
And it's all made up. It's all a bunch of paper and people. The corporations, all it does is create relationships between people.
Well, the lady.
As soon as we, yeah.
Go ahead. You go ahead, John.
We just have to realize that.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, because a lady at Freedom Phoenix headquarters here said it real well about 3 months ago. I think it was Renee. She said, these people have bought the entire world's gold stock with money that does not exist, you know, paper money or fiction money.
That's right.
Through these systems.
Well, yeah, you know, it's sort of along the lines of the California, and I know Ernie had mentioned this on one of his shows because I was in there, and I just happened to hear him mention it, that he was talking about California issuing IOUs to pay people with. And I thought that was really interesting because I thought, well, what's the difference between an IOU and a Federal Reserve note? Because they're both IOUs.
It's just another form of money, that's all. And it's the same accounting system. It's just a different, what do you call it, unit of currency. Basically,
right.
What they're doing is they're using the court system to issue a writ. And in order to make it work, they have to get the existing power, the banking system, to agree to own it or invest in it.
But the really fun part was that the California would pay you your tax refunds in IOUs, but you could not pay your taxes with their IOUs. They wouldn't accept them.
That's the name of the game. It's all monopoly.
And a double standard all the time. Everything's a double standard. Law is a one-way street all the time.
Yep.
It is totally amazing. John, will you, before I forget, please give the audience your address and how to get a hold of you. And Keith, would you do the same, please?
Yes.
Sure. You can go to johngleeha.com without trying to spell the name. It's easier just to visit zerodebtguaranteed.com. com.
Okay.
If you like calling toll-free numbers, our number is 800-477-9256.
Very good. Keith?
Yes, I work with Home Secure. We work on mortgages, and I know John's doing that, and we'll probably be working a lot together. And my contact is homesecure@bigstring.com. That's homesecure, one word, at bigstring, bigstring.com.
Sorry.
Or you can get a hold of me at 602-817-6777. That's 602-817-6777.
Very good. I just want to make sure that we had that in there because a lot of our listeners will listen in from the archives, and this is information that is not going to go away. I just see it as a, you know, an eruption just about to happen. With the complete falling apart of our economic system.
Oh, very much so, yes. Neil Garfield, the guy that's teaching the class that I recommended in San Diego, which is like $169, it's $50 off if you register early, he said that there's like 7 million foreclosures this year. And he said those 7 million need to tell these banks to stuff it. And they were going to tell them because the banks that are going after you are not even the people that lent you the money. They originated the loan either like John was saying with the promissory note transaction, or they securitized it, and it's not even their money. And so Bank of America and AIG and all these different firms or things that are going to trying to foreclose your home have absolutely no standing in court. And so
how do they get away with it?
They just say they're something they're not, and the judge goes, okay, and the defendant doesn't understand.
That's how the guy won his case in Arizona. They just like John said, they say they're something they're not, and when push comes to shove and you do a little discovery or ask them to prove that, they can't.
Wow. I'll give you an example. I've got about 60 pending foreclosures in Florida, 60 now, 6-0. And I started, the oldest one is about 18 months old, and it's still in court without any chance of completing for at least another year or 18 months. Nothing is happening on those cases because all I did was say in the court, I filed a motion, and I said basically said, the plaintiff is a stranger. They're not even supposed to be here. Show me how they have any interest in it whatsoever. And you would think that an attorney for a multi-billion-dollar international banking organization would immediately have a hearing on it, and they're afraid of having a hearing on it.
Yes.
So they all just sit there.
Exactly. McLeod in Arizona, he won against GMAC Mortgage and Deutsche Bank. I believe Deutsche is one of the biggest in the world.
And yeah, those are the easiest ones to beat. Those guys are so sloppy. They have no records.
Exactly. They burnt the notes. They have no title transfers, chain of title. They know all these laws that they violated is true and correct, and
right.
they don't want to go there.
Well,
it's a numbers game.
So what happens to the original notes? I mean, because ultimately, I know they do the same thing with, like, student loans. They never send you the originals back anymore. Somebody's got to have them somewhere, don't they?
No, I don't think they exist. I think what happens is the banks rely on the attorneys to create the note if they ever need it. And what I mean by that is, like in Florida, there's a statute. Now, every state is the same. If they need to create a note, they have to come into the court and say we lost it or it was stolen or it's been mutilated or it's been destroyed, okay? So there's a statute that allows them to do this if they meet the requirements, which they never do, but the courts usually go along with it because no one knows how to challenge it. So they create a note claiming it's been lost. The truth is it's been sold so many times and securitized, they don't even need it anymore.
Exactly. In fact, the guy that taught the class I went to, he said that the thing, 40% of the time the notes are destroyed purposely because the REMIC, which is these trusts they run them through, are not allowed to have an asset. They're only pass-throughs. They're income pass-throughs. So they destroy the note purposely, and then they go into the court later saying that it was got lost and it's a fraud.
If they need to, yeah.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
There.
Exactly, if you even bring it up.
Well, but do they have people who work in these banks who routinely just say, okay, we got another 1,000 mortgages in today. Do we burn it? We just take them out back and burn them in the grill or what?
No, I think they transfer them to a records retention facility, and they're destroyed by people that don't know what they're destroying, and the people transferring to the facility don't disbelieve that it's being stored there. So it's like committing a crime where like 15 people are involved in the commission of the crime, but none of them actually commit the crime. It's like an assembly line for fraud. Okay, so not one individual knows what he's doing.
That's what
is there some one person who does know what everybody else is doing?
Well, fortunately, there is supposed to be what's called a custodian of the note in that case. There has to be, by law, a witness, someone who's responsible, ultimately, an employee of the institution. And this is where I get them. When they ask for foreclosure on a judicial state, I file a motion to strike, and I say there's no witness. There's no testimony. There's no records. There's no insurance claim. There's no police report. This is a lie. It's not lost. You guys can't lose $500,000 asset and then come into the court and ask for another one, you know.
Wow.
But there is supposed to be someone. That's what their Achilles heel is. They have to have the testimony, and they don't.
Well, there's a lot of this activity going on across the country. I've talked to so many people. But how do they get away with keeping it out of the news?
I believe
they're... I don't know. I mean, it's conditioning.
I think the banks own the dang media companies. GE owns that stock channel, NBC, whatever it is, CNBC or whatever. That is owned by GE, and GE is a big capital bank. So that's how I think they're doing.
And it's so shocking that... I mean, I've told many people that, and they look at me like this glazed look, like I'm from Mars. So the truth is so shocking that it's unbelievable, and people disregard it.
Yeah, much like how people of my generation, I'm 50, we just believe that our country, the people who represent us, always wear the white hats, we're always the good guys, we're always the ones to help. But there's been a rude awakening the last probably 20 years that people have started to understand maybe the people who are controlling us aren't doing the right thing. We'll be back with Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. This is me sitting in. We have our guests today, Keith Liberty and John Gliha. We'll be back, folks.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock. Show must go on. The show must go on. Yeah. Inside my heart is breaking. My makeup may be flaking, but my smile still.
Yes, inside my heart is breaking. Because we're finding out things that are hidden in the shadows. They're behind the door or behind the closed door that you can't go into. Because these are kinds of subjects that might upset the apple cart. And we're here with our guests. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, bringing you some good information that you can use. We've got Keith Gliha. Keith Liberty and John Gliha on with us, two experts in the mortgage field, of talking about what are these mortgages that we're hearing so much about in the news, and finding out that, wow, they're not what we thought they were. And as we go here at the close of the hour, I just want to remind our listeners, I know you've got some questions. If you've got some questions, please get the number here ready, jot it down, and get ready to call in the second hour. The number is 800-313-9443. Okay, we're back to it. John, now I also wanted to touch a little bit. So, first let's kind of wrap up the mortgage thing, and we probably will take the first, maybe even the first and second segment of the next hour, to talk about credit cards and credit and how that all figures in. But I just wanted to ask both of you, what would happen if everybody, these 7 million homes, what would happen if all of those 7 million people took their notes into their bank and on a bill of exchange, as you were talking about, and suddenly they're done? What would happen to those banks? What would happen to the Federal Reserve? And what generally would happen to the economy? John?
Happy, its books would balance, the lien would be released, and life would move on. The difference being that the individual that was in the home would stay in the home because the bank wouldn't try and take the title and take possession.
But what would it do to the bank's solvency?
It would be just fine. It would be the payment of a debt. They would be happy. It's just exactly what they would expect. It would balance the books. It would be a debt paid.
So that would be a contraction of the economy. It would take the number unit digits out of the equation, right?
It would zero out the money that was created in the beginning. I believe it would.
Okay.
Maybe some more complexity there, but I think that's what would happen.
Oh, with these securities, man, I'll tell you, there are so many levels deep that I don't think anybody knows what for certain would happen because it's just so convoluted. It's just amazing to me that it has gone so far, and these people act all respectable. Actually, I have a good friend whose father is the president and chairman of one of the major lending banks, and I never really sat down and talked with him about it, but next time I get the chance, I sure will,
mm-hmm.
And find out. So what would people do? They're in trouble. Okay, now we've got the economy has turned south. They tell us that the housing starts. I love that. I guess about a month ago, they told us housing starts are up. But then what I found out was that just the foreclosures in California alone overwhelmed the figure of how many homes were being bought. I just thought that was amazing. They would only give you in the old media, that's so last century, as Ernest would say, that they're hiding the true facts.
Mm-hmm.
Any wrap-ups here? We've got about 30 seconds.
Well, your mortgage is not valid, and you can get with John or write me or whatever and find out why. But it's not going to defend itself like your First and Second Amendment is not going to defend itself. You have to defend it, or they're going to take your home. And there's
absolutely
a way to stop it.
And folks, we'll be back right after the break, and we'll take your calls. I hope you've got that number, and we'll look for it.